Welcome to episode 54 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniature game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord. And as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how are you doing this evening, Wonky?
1 week. 1 week, Fabius.
Right?
1 week till Warfare Weekend. I'm excited.
Dude.
Well, okay, 1 week. 1 week as of recording, obviously, for...
Yeah.
For those listening, it probably will not be 1 week when you hear this.
As I say, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Is what I'm guessing. But yes, 1 week for us as we're recording. I know I'm super excited about it. Obviously, getting to come down and see people. That's going to be a blast of a time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very pumped. I'm excited. It's one of the like the last big things I'm doing before the kid, so you know.
right.
So
is that going to change your Adepticon plans? You thinking?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You just have to get an awesome wife that is very A-okay with your nerd hobbies and probably doesn't, to be honest. It will be early-ish December.
Okay.
Is the current target due date.
Okay.
So I am hoping by the time we get around to late March that I can squeak away for Adepticon. But
there you go.
We'll have to see. That's a little bit more up in the air. I probably will not be able to do LVO this year. I did kind of joke about it with the wife, and that again didn't seem like the most terrible idea, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see how the patience is going at that point in our new existence, I guess we'll say.
Okay.
So.
No, that's...
I wouldn't hate to hit up LVO again this year, but...
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. LVO is definitely something that is outside of my range of doable this year.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, I hate to say it, but where it is not going to be tournament season...
Yeah,
it's something I have to be like, okay, you know, that's going to be a long-term thing for next year. I have to look at that.
Yeah, that's one of the things where like it's a bit more expensive because I have to fly, right? It's like Warfare Weekend, Adepticon are drivable, which makes them a lot easier to deal with, so that does help. Where, you know, LVO, I've got to fly. Granted, if you look at the right time, flights to Vegas could be pretty cheap.
So. Yeah, for me where I'm at, right, flights to Vegas are fairly cheap overall.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things that as much as I would love to go and do LVO and stuff like that, I'd rather do it on a year that I know we're having the tournament season.
Yeah, it does have a bit more value, right, because that is the planned convention for the Invitational, right? So
that does
make some sense.
I'm gonna have to reach out to Sebrov now, and I may have to have him actually send me my gloom since he's not making it to Warfare, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It is. Otherwise, he'll have to make it to Adepticon.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible.
Yep. So, well, Wonky, I know we've got a jam-packed episode, and we always say that, but tonight we actually do, because we've got, obviously, Warfare to talk about, which is a week away. We had some exciting changes jump out in the Judgment Discord this last week and get dropped, so we should definitely get into that. So, let's start with our wonderful Hobby Corner! All right, Wonky, any you know, news from the painter.
Any yeah, work so
on
I
the
should,
terrain?
I should have, yeah, so I got some work in progress stuff from the painter. So mm-hmm. I think I'm picking it up Saturday. I do need to confirm that tomorrow. So I should be pretty much, I think I'll have everything painted. I think I've got a couple of V2 models that aren't, but pretty much anything I would imagine I would be playing, I will have painted. So. Okay. So pretty much like my V2 starter, and obviously all my V1 stuff had been painted previously. Now that we have some access to some of the, you know, old V1, models, right? So we got some of my favorites, you know, we talked about last episode.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to bust some of them out. Obviously not for the events at Warfare Weekend, but might throw some of them around, you know, in the more casual stuff that we're looking at running, or, you know, if we just, I still want to try and get a good draft game in.
Right.
Cause those are just super fun. So,
no, that's fair.
But yeah, so that stuff's coming along. I got some pictures from my brother who's still being awesome and painting my terrain for me. He's got most of the trees done. So I think at this point we just need, I've used we very, very lax here.
Very loosely.
He, I think, is going to attempt to get the magnets on the trees he's got done so that they won't be fully decked out in trees, but a fair amount of them will have trees on them, with the magnets. So I should have, a table's worth of 3D terrain, painted and able to be used for the events. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Nice.
And then, obviously normally they've got the 2D terrain, for that. So I don't know, I'm kind of excited that it's coming, like it's pretty much done. Like I think there's some touch up and stuff that'll have to get done at some point, and then probably, I don't think he's sealed anything yet,
right?
Which, because of the way that you handle terrain, probably
needs to happen,
kind of an important thing to get done. But but yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. I think playing with 3D terrain is nice, and mm-hmm. it's fun. I think it adds a lot to the game. But I am still one of the mind of like, man, I kind of just like 2D for like transportability.
Right.
Because a full set of 3D terrain, like I've got a little bin that I fit most of it in. And like, I don't think I can actually fit the trees in the bin. So now I need to find a bigger bin. Bigger bin. But I don't want like this other massive bin, you know. So I gotta. We'll see. I do really enjoy the 3D terrain versus the 2D, but the portability on 2D terrain is just too good.
No, that makes sense.
So, you, sir, do you have any last-minute painting projects?
Well, I mean, there's the warband of, you know, 7 that I'm working on.
Okay. So, still got a lot to.
Oh yeah. To do
for painting.
Well, I mean, I finished up last week on, like I said, on that other. The terrain set, right? And yeah. So then it's been about kind of figuring out what I want to play, and I kind of have an idea of what I do want to play at Warfare. So now it's about trying to get that painted up.
Okay.
I spent a couple hours on Marcus this morning. And
okay. Marcus is a good one to get painted. Fits in a lot of warbands.
Yep. So I spent a couple hours on him this morning. And doing just some contrast and some metal work, and he's coming along really nicely so far. But I've still got a good amount of work to do on him yet.
Okay.
And then we'll see where things go from there. I'm not gonna, this is the one time that you will probably ever hear me say this, which is I may be showing up with an unpainted warband.
Fabius.
Trust me, you're not the only one disappointed, but.
Oh.
When it comes to Adepticon, I won't be showing up with an unpainted warband. That's for damn sure.
Well, I'm pretty sure Adepticon, we're not going to get our painting stuff waived anymore. So people are going to have to show up with painted models for Adepticon.
Yeah,
so,
well, but like I said.
Pretty sure that's a thing that's going to be occurring for next event.
We'll see how I do. I've still got, what? I've got a week till I'm driving out. So I've still got effectively 6 days to do some painting.
That you do.
We'll see what I can crank out, especially on like Tuesday on my day off.
That might be a thing to call out for those that are thinking of Adepticon next March. Adepticon has a convention level rule where everything must be painted. So
yeah,
the only reason we were not painting required last year is because you can apply for a waiver or something, and because the game essentially was kind of like
not
soft launching at Adepticon. We didn't have to have everything painted, but I'm assuming that's not going to work this upcoming year.
I would assume not. So,
I would keep that in mind. People that are thinking that are looking a bit ahead to Adepticon.
That is a good one. But yeah, so I've been working on Marcus. I've got like 2 or 3 others that are already done. So at least I have that done. But
well, and you had a chunk of stuff painted already, right?
Cause
I've
got some at
Adepticon. What's up? Okay.
I've got some V1 done, so if I need to, I can fall back on that.
Okay.
But I'm trying to get the V2s done so that way I can show up and actually have V2s, not V1s, because I can fit a hell of a lot more of them in my bag.
That is true. The transportability of V2 stuff is very enjoyable. I will say that.
But obviously my V1 Donnie is another one of my favorites that I did.
Yeah.
And I think he's visually awesome looking to see on the table, so...
And destroys all 3D terrain ever, so...
Yes, yes he does.
Another reason for 2D terrain.
Correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my update on painting. I've got some good work going. I know Coonerbus actually picked up my Maltique and Fazile tonight to help me by building them. Okay. So I appreciate that from him.
Maltique's a fun one. What'd you have to pay him to do Maltique? Because she's a pain in the ass.
He just was like, I'll do her. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, jeez. All right, well.
More than likely, it'll be I'll probably buy him a meal while we're down at Warfare.
He is a better man than I. That's all I'm going to say.
Dude, he had a lot of fun building. Like, he actually was like, yeah, she was a lot of fun. Took me a little bit to figure it out, but she was fun. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh,
mine.
Okay.
I've got a couple of games with her. She's actually at the painter, so I'm kind of excited to get her back. But, yeah, the thing with her is, like, man, getting those legs to fit right was, it was difficult. And I'm, like, half of mine looks really good. The other half looks really bad.
That's fair.
Never look at my Maltique from the top down.
Don't say that.
But you can see the spacing between the legs. Because it's pretty...
It's fine. No, he actually sent me some pictures tonight because, where you know, I'm a painter.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't know. How much of a pain in the butt is she going to be to paint with the legs on?
Ooh, I didn't even think of that.
Right. And so he was like, oh, she shouldn't be that hard. Sent me a couple pictures of his assembled.
If he gets the spacing on the legs right, I don't think she'll be bad. The problem was is one side of her legs and mine got a little bit tight.
Yeah.
And then I think she'll be a little bit more difficult to paint.
It was just one of those things that as soon as I saw it, I was like, cool, build her chair, build the legs, leave them off. I want to paint them that way because I just looked at it, I was like, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah. So,
So that's where I'm at. Hopefully get a few models done next week. That'll be fun. Have a conversion for my Fazile that I'm going to try to do. So we'll see if that works. It's a secret, though.
Okay. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. If I get it done, yay! If I don't, well...
All right.
All right. Well, with that, let's jump right into the next section. And we've already kind of been talking about it. But let's jump into... Judgment News! All right, Wonky, let's talk about Warfare. We've already been doing it so much, but what are our official numbers at as of a week out from the con?
So we're at 12 for both events at the moment, which I think we actually were a little bit higher on one of them, so maybe we had someone drop out, which is fine. The thing with that, so we're 12 each, which means we'll be four rounds unless... Both pair? Is it two paradigms then at that point? So we're definitely past three rounds, depending on paradigm, I think, for 12 apiece. So we're not past four rounds, which is good. Not that having more people is bad. I'm just saying from like a length of event, right?
Right.
I know five rounds can be quite a bit, though. I'm pretty sure if we went to five, I would probably cut it to a top table, like they did at Adepticon.
Makes sense.
Do like a dinner break, then cut to top table. So yeah, we're looking pretty good.
That is solid. I like it.
Yeah. I think last year we had, I think like six for one and eight in the other, if I remember.
That sounds right.
So we're definitely a bit bigger than we were last year, which is good. I mean, Warfare Weekend's also, not the largest con, especially if you come from not Privateer Press Games.
That's true.
Because that is how the con started. I think we talked over that history previously. So yeah. I won't go too much on there. But, I mean, they expanded to a lot of game systems. I think there's, like, Age of Sigmar, I think we talked about. And
yeah.
There's a lot of game systems this year, which it's good to see. It's good to see other things show up there.
it is very good to see other things show up there. I don't, we both kind of mentioned it and said that it was a little surprising, even like seeing like the Age of Sigmar, because the last few years that we had gone, we hadn't seen that. We'd seen some of the other stuff, and it was, it's just good to see the expansion happening and making things get bigger, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun con. It's like I said, it's not large, but I don't know. I've always had a very, very good time at it. So, yeah, 12 apiece. So we're looking at four rounds. So Friday, because it's threes, should be pretty quick, even with four rounds. Fives can tends to go a bit longer in general. But I think we start like an hour earlier, I think, on Saturday. Yes. If I remember as well. So, yeah, looking forward to running the events. But, yeah, should be a good time. Good. So, Fabius, what other news do we have?
Other news is we had a patch drop. Boom, 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 boom. Big, big news in that. I mean, it actually, it changes some things on a few major models, and I'm super excited about it as a whole. As we all know, we are very opinionated on this podcast, Wonky and I, and we love talking about our opinions, so strap in, because here they come. So what's the first change, Wonky?
All right, so the first change, so the patch wasn't very big, which actually for a Judgment patch, it was quite small, but I think a little bit of the mentality has been they want to let kind of the game breathe a bit.
Yeah.
Now that we're getting, you know, more people getting their stuff, so a lot of people have been getting their Resin Wave models. If you haven't gotten them yet, you should be soon. And if you haven't seen any updates on it, you might want to possibly ping Creature Caster or
I would email
carrier.
Customer service.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I think the idea is they kind of want to let the game breathe a little bit before they come in and do big sweeping changes.
Makes sense.
So not too many changes, but yes, the first change we got is, Isabel got a couple of changes. Her Lay on Hands ability can no longer work on demons, which is her two. I think it's within two hexes, you can heal for 3+ level she has gained. Mm-hmm. It previously did not work on undead. Now it also does not work on demons. Divine Intervention now can also work on Isabel. However, it can no longer work on demons. So Divine Intervention is an innate ability that the first time friendly model, I think it's friendly, now it will be friendly non-undead, non-demon model, is dropped to 0 hit points. Instead of dying, they will go up to 1 hit point. So kind of like the Brox level 2, where you die, but you come back. Or I think there was an item that does it that no one ever would take. And now it like teleports you to your effigy or something.
Yeah.
I forget.
Gift of life or
something like that. Yeah, Elixir of Life or something.
Elixir of Life, yeah, something like that.
So yeah, another, you know, kind of change where again, can't do anything with demons. But the big change is it works on Isabel. I think this has been a huge sticking point on Isabel for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a really cool ability, but if you just killed Isabel,
it just didn't
there
matter.
Was no value from it.
And, yeah.
Because you had to be close to stuff. You can get at her. And then finally, Holy Blast now will also affect demons, along with summons, undead, and monsters. Holy Blast is your Retribution Tree level 2, where you can spend an action to target, I don't remember the hexes off the top of my head, I think it's like 2 or 3 hexes.
I believe
and
so.
And it does D6 damage.
Mm-hmm.
If you spent a fate, it became D6+3 true damage. And it would only work on summons, undead, and monsters. It will now work with demons. So just very thematic changes for Ista. Ista, I think there was some discussion that Ista doesn't have any demon as champions. Ista is like the good god, you know, good god,
angelic.
I guess. Yeah, the angelic, like that lawful good thing. With Isabel essentially being, you know, her avatar and, you know, essentially a paladin, right? So, really thematic changes. There's been a bit of discussion about it because I know, you know, a couple of people really like using her with some of the demons, and now she loses some value if you're playing with a bunch of demons. However, she does get a lot stronger against demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I look at these changes, and I know at the time when I talked with Guns about her initially – You know, when she came out and stuff, he said she was based off of WoW Paladins. And I'll be honest, this feels very WoW Paladin to me, with being able to basically go after demons with Holy Blast, go, you know, making it to where the divine stuff doesn't work on them. Now, my only partial concern with this is, if you remember a little while back, we saw the actual, like, demon slash undead hunter.
Yasmin,
right? Yep. I'm kind of curious, because now it seems like Isabel's kind of taking on that role as well, in a way. I'm kind of wondering if there's going to be some tweaks to her in the future.
She's very far off, right?
Correct. So and that's why...
some discussion about that, about Ramona lately in the Discord.
Correct. It's just something that came to my head here, of she's kind of taking on some of that role a little bit here now. And I'm just curious as if that means Yasmin may change in the future from what we saw, which either way, I don't care. Thought that popped across my head, right?
I would doubt it, being honest with you. Probably because the Yasmin, which was the human witch hunter, I think was what her tagline was. I don't think that's going to change, mostly because I don't see how Isabel having some anti-demon tech in Holy Blast necessarily eliminates her theme or character.
It doesn't. They're similar. That's all I'm getting.
Yes, correct. It's very true. They are kind of similar, but I think she had a lot more of coalesce tokens she could bounce around to and she had, plus damage. I forget exactly what she got against demons. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's just adding one tool to the toolbox against demons. I think this buffs up Isabel.
Yeah.
Pretty strongly. I think now both trees feel pretty good. I think Divine Intervention working on her is actually really nice. And also Holy Blast, if you're playing against someone that's got a couple of demons on the table, you can get some good work out of Holy Blast, especially against those Diamond Armored Mazuzis that are running around.
Diamond Armored Mazuzis, Arias, things that are hard as hell to hit anyway.
Yeah, I guess Arya too, right? Because it's the high edgy.
Any of the high edgy stuff, it's like Nias and Arya look at that, or Isabel looks at them and goes, hey, come here.
Well, yeah, and I guess the other thing that's kind of nice about Isabel is Mazuzi can curse, so she's +1 damage on him already.
Yep.
So that's kind of... She can charge in, smack him for a reasonable amount, and then, Holy Blast to really chunk those Mazuzis.
Yep.
So that's kind of fun. So, yeah. So what's the next change that's up on the list?
The next change is one of your favorites. But really a favorite to another person in the Discord. Our boy Sonny, Kogan got touched. Kogan got touched on his level 2. He no longer gets +1 RNG at level 2. I'll be honest, this was a change I was waiting for to happen. I've watched since they gave him that. Kogan has been taken off and just blasting people with that shotgun really, really efficiently. So I kind of was wondering when the axe was going to finally drop and he was going to lose that.
Yeah, this was a change I kind of thought was coming for a while, even before being on some of the playtest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, as soon as we saw Kogan's level 2 change, I think people have played a fair amount of the game were like, that level 2 is bonkers.
Yep.
He probably had the strongest level 2 in the game. I mean, I don't think there's much I would put a higher priority of getting to level 2 than pre-patch Kogan. It did so much for him that it's really hard to not want to get him to level 2 immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it's that same concept we've always, talked about of, for example, if you have Kogan and Yorgath, two people who really want level 2, who are you going to put pre-patch? Who are you going to get level 2?
I mean, probably wouldn't normally run both in a warband because of that. but, yeah, I think it's that will probably depend on what I'm playing against and what's banned, dropped, etc. But, I think Kogan will still be very, very strong.
Oh, yeah.
The reach 4 on the gun's a big deal, so the level 2 still feels good. Normally, you're going to want him to get that monster kill anyways to get the Heartseeker.
Yep.
And with Battlecry, his floor for damage is already going to be really high. Being able to reroll 2 dice. So even if you're only rolling like 3 to 4 dice, being able to reroll 2 of them each attack so you can kind of pick them as well can make them really efficient. And then he still can knock people down. So as soon as you knock down, you're still getting a like way more dice normally than you really need. So Kogan, I think, will be perfectly fine. I think he's already been perfect. I feel like he's already been dropping off a little bit, and I think just because what people have been playing lately. I don't think he's been super popular lately, and I think this will kind of ding him down a bit because I think, you know, some people kind of prefer flexibility of someone that doesn't like feel like they require to have level 2 to function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? You like having your options open a bit more for that, you know, your opening move. But yeah, I think this is one that's probably been waiting to come down the pipe for a while.
Yeah.
And they thought like, hey, we know this is happening, so let's just let's get it in there.
Yeah. Well, and like you and I have talked about it, it's one of those things that I think when you saw this, all the people who looked at it and went, oh God, he gets range and a reach increase?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make sure he always gets that level 2 when possible. He was pretty much always doing it. And even like I mentioned, you put Yorgoth, you put Kogan in a list together. Yeah. I think, honestly, pre-patch Kogan, you probably give him the level still as much as you want Yorgoth to have that patch or that level. I think you give him that level because Kogan with the +1 RNG, +1 reach just mm-hmm. will do more, and he can set Yorgoth up even. So
yeah, I mean, Yorgoth's level 2 is very, very important.
I think you can get it later in the game, right?
Yeah, I would probably, again, say that I would not probably run both of them in the same warband unless your plan is to drop one or the other, to be honest. Because I don't think you want to have...
Usually one of them gets banned.
maybe. I've played a couple of games where both had made it through, and then I, like, when I was running both in Gruul for a bit, I was running both and while I was getting Dolnergard banned. So then I ended up dropping one of them just because it was... Like, okay, hey, I can bring both, but one of them's going to be pretty inefficient until they get that level 2. Mm-hmm. And getting, like, having to force them to get that first, like, hero kill can be difficult, you know, can be difficult to engineer and whatnot. So, I mean, he'll still be good. I think Kogan still fits really well in where you're going to play him.
Yeah, Kogan's not going anywhere. He's going to stick around.
Yeah, and he'll still be strong. You still can set him up, and he'll be fine. Like, he just, like, cover will be a lot more crucial against him because it'll limit, you know, the dice by 2. And when you start doing that, then it'll get a lot more difficult. You know, you'll be way less dice, and the way less dice will be more impactful.
Correct.
So. All right, that kind of covers Kogan.
That definitely covers Kogan. So, Wonky, then, what is our third change that we got?
All right, so Ista's warband bonus is getting a pretty big buff. Previously, the Ista warband bonus was flying and nimble for the round. And then the avatar bonus was if you were close to Isabel, it would cleanse. I think you'd cleanse the condition and heal, I think, or something is what it was. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while since I played as Ista. So
it was legitimately that friendly heroes within 2 hexes of her would cleanse.
Okay.
And
then she gains flying and nimble for the rest of the game. So that's been there for ages. So the new effigy power is friendly champion of Ista heroes have all of their conditions removed, heal 1 health, and gained fly and nimble until the end of their next activation. So it added the cleansing of all conditions and the healing of 1 to all friendly champions. And then the avatar bonus now is friendly hero models within 2 hexes of Isabel heal 1 health after you call the effigy power, and then Isabel still gains flying and nimble permanently. So quite a big change here. Yep. This kind of leans into Ista as the Healy God, I guess. Healing God, like, removes conditions, removes those negative debuffs. Yeah, very, very big change, I think, for certain matchups. Tomas is the one that immediately comes to mind, mostly because I play a very condition-heavy Tomas Warband. So being able to call effigy power to clear everything can be pretty strong in some matchups. Now, when I play my Gruul Warband, I don't, you know, depending on which version of it, I don't really play around conditions, so then the cleansing is kind of, you know, not impactful, I guess. So to me, the Warband, the effigy power feels very, very strong in different scenarios. I think Tomas is probably the one that feels on the surface gets hit the most, just because a lot of their combat maneuvers that they're using their effigy power for cause conditions, right? So being able to remove a bunch of conditions without having to spend fate is very strong, and without having to actually move, you know, Isabel over to do her mass restoration, which would save you a fate and an action of her outside of get her being in position.
True. Very true.
So,
I mean, the other warband that sticks out to my mind right away is Torin as well.
Okay.
And that's just because Torin does play a lot of the demons. They also play, I mean, with just the demons alone, right? We have Masuzi who poisons. You have Arya who poisons. You have Abathos who can eat a curse or eat a coalesce token and curse a warband.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I will be interested to see how this plays out. But it definitely is something that I'm going to keep my eye on, because it's not something that I personally am the most thrilled with.
Yeah, I mean,
and now
Thorin and Tomas are kind of two guys you've been playing a lot of. So
they are the two gods I play a lot of.
Definitely feels like it hits you a bit more, right?
But I'm not even like, and I do my best to come at this from a non-biased standpoint. I don't really care about the fact that I play those gods and it's a condition removal.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that it's all condition removal.
Okay.
Because if you have things like, for example, I'm going to use Ashel here. Even if you take Ashel not in Tomas, if he hits people with that bombard, if you use his fate ability, it's pin and fire.
Yep.
And that's two fate that just got cleansed.
Correct. So, I think the thing to be cognizant of with it is the, like, he can bombard and pin turn after turn, where this is just a single, right?
I know, but you're not going to give somebody that opportunity.
I think, right, it all depends on when you activate, because if you do it early in activation, they still might cleanse. Because if it's in the middle of a turn, they can't call their effigy power in the middle of a turn.
Right.
So it only will impact conditions that roll over from one turn to the next.
Like, I said, I'm sitting on a side of that I don't like how much possible fate this can keep Ista from spending. And Ista already was, you can build Ista fairly light for fate.
True.
And so it's something that I'm concerned with. I will wait to make a full judgment till after I see it and I've seen it played for a while. You know, I'm never going to just be like, oh, that's terrible, and I don't want to play the game anymore. No, I'm going to play it. I'm going to let people play it against me. We're going to see how effective it is. Because I may come back after playing games with it and be like, oh, yeah, okay. My worries weren't warranted. It's easy enough to deal with, right? Or I may come back and be like, no, that's really damn powerful. Maybe this should be looked at again. So I'm going to lean to the cautious side of it and go, okay, let's see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and like I said, I think there's going to be times where it still doesn't, because right now, even flying a nimble at times just doesn't feel like much of an effigy power.
Yeah.
It's an effigy power that's felt kind of like It's good in some scenarios. It's not good in others. I don't know. This gives it a lot more toolboxiness to it. So you'll call it, I think, for different reasons.
Sure. I definitely agree with that. I honestly think that, and remember, spitballing here, just opinions.
Yeah.
Fly is already very limited, which is, I think, one of the reasons that makes it a little rough. But I think flying, if they maybe made it to where you could walk and still use it, I don't know. It's a game balance thing. I am not a game designer. I am not a game balancer. I don't have any experience in that. This is just a dude talking.
The fly one, I'm not sure why you always had to charge to fly, to be honest.
That's something I was like, eh?
Because I guess just walking over your own thing probably would have been fine anyways. People mess it up all the time with fly. But
yeah,
it felt like the current FG Power. Like I've played Issa not a huge amount, but I play some games with them. And like half the time it's like, okay, I'm going to call my FG Power because I've got like one thing I want to do.
Yep.
And like that feels bad. Like when I call an FG Power, I'm like, okay, I want it to be like turn defining, right?
Yeah.
You know, like Krognar, I'm going to bounce a bunch of people around the map. Or like Gruul, I'm going to tank up a whole bunch. Or and maybe on the off chance get to use the no pushing, but that's kind of rare. Tomas, I'm going to line up, you know, like a Fazil charge and someone else getting maneuver value. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, and Torin, I want to get a couple of heroes. So to like get flying a nibble on like a model just felt kind of like, okay.
Yep.
So I think it's good. Maybe I could see maybe the condition removal going to like one condition per instead of all conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might not be a terrible change, but I think the idea is it's like Isabel cleansing the whole warband kind of a thought process. So, So I think we'll move on there.
And then there was one more change, right?
Yeah, what's the final change?
The final change is one you ruined a long time ago when you spoke it on the podcast, which is the Ring of Teleportation is now free, guys. Doesn't cost you fate anymore. So
yeah, because it was free somewhere and not somewhere else, and then it got said like, yeah. So it got added. Ring of Teleportation just makes your FG recall take one action.
Yep.
I haven't seen it used a whole lot. I've seen it on Zonya with Second Wind.
Yeah, that's where you tend to see it.
I've seen it. My local plays a lot of Sky, and will actually level Sky and get him Ring of Teleportation.
Okay, that makes sense because he can teleport correct. Multiple people.
Yeah, so I've seen it a little bit. I think it's a fine change.
Yeah,
not much to say there. I think
no.
I think you'll still see it the same spots you're seeing it.
Yep.
You might think about it on occasion now on a hero that might dive into someone to get kills. So like a Thorgar or someone that will charge in, finish someone off, and then use the one action to get out.
Yep.
So you could see some of that kind of play developing.
Yeah.
I don't see major changes from that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, guys, that covers the changes for the patch. We're going to dive right into the next section of the podcast, which is Enter the Dojo. All right. What we're going to do tonight for our dojo, guys, is we are going to talk about Warfare Weekend Warbands. And realistically, we know that we could talk about this for the next 2 hours. I'll be honest with you. Wonky and I love the game so much. We have so many warbands that we build for this. But what we're going to do is we're each going to pick probably one warband for threes, one warband for fives, and we're going to talk about those and actually talk about why we like them, what the combos are, things like that. So, Wonky, do you have a warband? Which warband do you want to discuss tonight for the threes? All right.
Threes. I don't know.
Hey, got to pick one, buddy.
I know. So, like, threes, I just don't ever play.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we'll do my Gruul warband.
Get out of here. Gruul's too easy for you. Come on. No, well, that's fine. No, Gruul.
Yeah, I mean, Gruul, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go with it. Actually, looking at it, I might even change it from what it currently is. But my current thought for threes is, I like models that definitely have a bit of utility. Mm-hmm. In threes, you also have to accept the fact that you will play without things on occasion.
Yep.
And sometimes you can lean into that to some effect. This warband goes pretty just damage heavy.
Sure.
Which may or may not end up actually working. But the warband is Dolnragar, Thorgar, Drelgoth, Loribella, Astariel. In hindsight, as even saying it out loud, I don't know if I really like the Astariel there. I think I actually like swapping that to Piper. And actually, I'll probably just swap it to Piper.
And in case you didn't hear his, you know, keyboard immediately clack.
Yeah, yeah. So Dolnragar, Thorgar, Drelgoth, Loribella, Piper. Essentially almost kind of baiting the Dolnragar ban. I feel like that's probably what will happen, or what most people will ban, which is fine. Then I could bring something like Thorgar, Drelgoth, and then Loribella or Piper, depending on what I want, and effectively just murder whatever is on the table. or use Loribella to position things. There's a lot of free damage you can get out of her. Loribella and Piper can both Soul Harvest.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I see you show up with that warband. You are not getting Lori.
I mean, that could also happen. And then I can play like a Dolnragar, Thorgar, Piper, and also Love Life. So,
not when I have sticks.
Yep, that's fine. I probably won't necessarily care because I'll just murder the sticks.
So, yeah, that's what you think.
Yeah. But but yeah, so the plan would be essentially like either you ban the Dolnragar, the Loribella, I get a pick of, you know, whichever damage I feel like is more valuable in that matchup, the Thorgar or the Drelgoth. And then I've got some good utility and backup Soul Gazing in Piper and Loribella. I don't know, it's kind of a variation of a few things I play in Gruul and Fives where I just kind of trimmed off a little bit. Which is kind of how I think about threes, because I don't really think about threes a whole lot.
I mean, that's fair. I don't think about threes a whole lot either, so.
Yeah, I don't hate playing threes. I think in threes, there is a bit of a mentality where it, and I wouldn't say the game doesn't feel complete, but it does feel like you need to play without certain things you tend to like to have in fives.
Yep.
Because you are playing, you know, with two less models on the table. So it does,
like you said earlier, you're playing with, you're not, you have to understand that you're just going to sacrifice certain slots.
Yep. And I think that's what can be kind of fun about threes is you get into, some interesting scenarios. You don't tend to, you know, like when you're playing fives, right? So like a lot of people tend to play like double defender. So you always have a defender. Or in this case, right, my Dolnragar is definitely something you could look at as a ban target. But then I kind of play around like a Piper Loribella, because Piper is kind of annoying to deal with if you don't have certain tools. And then Loribella is also kind of tanky. And then, you know, or you just bring, you know, double damage dealer and you just murder things, right? So, because it turns out if you murder a thing, it can't hurt you. So it's one way to go, which is actually... how one of my Bruellen warband was essentially built.
Makes sense.
that might make an appearance for threes.
Of course it would for you. No, can't blame you. I honestly would not be surprised if that does, especially where at Warfare, since you are running the event, right, you are basically playing these, if you are playing any of them, as a buy buster.
Correct. Yeah, that's kind of the thing we're at this point is that I will only play, like, I won't even play in the event. I think actually we'll have a buy and I'll just play whoever's on buy. So that could be the case. So yeah, my thought is like, I'll just, for threes at least, I'll definitely just throw some together. But I do have a Brown Warband that is pretty much just like, bring the pain. that is 100% what the Warband is, which I'll go through it real quick. But it's Zonia, Thorgar, Kogan, Cruul, Lugdrug. Like,
you really don't like people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you ban out. You see the Cruul, you ban the Cruul, and I just go Lugdrug and like Kogan plus Zonia and just murder the world. Or you ban my Zonia, and I guess I can do like I don't know, Cruel Thorgar Lodrog or something. I don't know. Yeah. A lot of damage, essentially, is what the Breloan Warband is.
Yeah. That is a hell of a damage.
I don't play Breloan too much, but every once in a while I'm like, I just want to put my foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah, and go. That is gas pedal to the max, right?
Yeah. So, all right, what are you kind of thinking for threes?
Well, so I got a couple ideas, but the main one I've been toying around with at home has been a Krognar Warband, which is definitely a little unusual for me. And that is Zarin, Styx, Yorgoth, Rakir, and Lugdrug.
Okay.
And you and I both know Zarin in fives is dangerous, and in threes can be just as dangerous because it doesn't take him as much to get to soul pits with those skeletons.
That is true. Yep.
Obviously, we're going to get my boy Styx. Yeah. I'm really just looking forward to having him back, and he's there in case the Zarin gets banned, basically, because he's still a good soul harvester, and if he actually starts getting souls on him, he starts picking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yorgoth Rakir, you know what that is. That's just, mm-hmm. I'm going to blow the world up. And Lugdrug, good standard tank, right? But I don't feel like I need two of them in this list.
Yeah, I think Lugdrug's pretty strong in threes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with only two other models, right? When you mm-hmm. get the ward gets a lot more value. Zarin's kind of an interesting one in threes. Like, the skeletons can get real annoying if you can start getting them going just because, you've got less attacks and whatnot to deal with them.
Yep.
But, because I haven't seen a lot of Zarin in threes either. Because, right, like, the map's not as big, so, like, bouncing between stuff. But I guess you can still use the skeleton to soul harvest safely, back from, like, near your effigy or something. But even your effigy's not as safe in threes, right? Because people can kind of get on you a bit. So, I don't know.
They can, but, I mean, it's not like they can charge the effigy in threes.
That's true, but they can charge your Zarin standing near the effigy.
That's true. They could.
So, I don't know. I actually don't know what I would ban in that one. Probably Rakir, because I just hate Rakir.
No, and see, and that's fair. It's one of those things, like, what I'm thinking of is with the map being smaller, right? Styx being mm-hmm. able to move people around.
Yep, that's pretty good.
Zarin, if I can get the skeletons going, which mm-hmm. overall, hopefully I can, gives me more assists. It gives me the ability to make things like Styx work a little bit better if I need to, or Lugdrug, who is only melee 6, can work a little bit better. You and I have watched skeletons suicide bomb into freaking mm-hmm. monsters and things like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to it. Is there a piece I could probably replace Zarin with? Sure.
I don't hate him if you like playing with soul. I mean, I just tend to not play with a lot of soul gazers in general.
Yeah, no. And
so then definitely in threes, I'm like, I just don't need a soul gazer.
No, absolutely. And, so it's one of those things, like, it's a list I've been toying with and I'm not sure how it would do. But you know as well as I do that if there's one thing that I like, it's movement shenaniganry.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely gives me movement shenaniganry, right? If I were going to trade out Zarin, I'll be 100% honest with you. If I were going to trade out Zarin for anybody
mm-hmm.
at this point, it would probably be Kogan. I'd just bring some more gas.
Yeah.
Because then at that point, if you ban Styx, I can grab, frickin' Rakir, Kogan,
yep.
and Lugdrug, or blah, 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 so on and so forth. I think Styx becomes the main target of the ban there, and I think Styx is still a big ban target here, just because he can deal with stuff with Nullify and Ethereal Passage, Astral Split, all that stuff can be huge.
Yeah.
But I think if you ban him, then you're giving me the Rakir, the, so on mm-hmm. and so forth. The only thing I don't like is that I am requiring Rakir in this one to stand on his own with his poison.
Yep, which can be a bit harder to do in threes, right? Because, again, you just have less models, right? So, yep. I mean, you could try and lean into that with maybe swapping the Zarin for Nias.
Thought about that.
Because Nias is pretty good in the low model count stuff with the higher agility. The heals can be pretty impactful.
She's Krognar, isn't she?
She is also Krognar.
Yeah, that would actually... okay.
So that's kind of a thought.
That's fair.
The other one is... I think that's probably not a bad one if you want to play around the poison. Otherwise, Krul is also pretty good, I think, in small games as well.
Yeah,
I think the utility, the durability... the transference, I think, are actually just really strong.
Yeah.
So that could have some value, I think. So that's kind of where I think I'm at with that. Yeah, I think maybe, I don't know. And Zarin's, like, it's hard to say Zarin's bad.
Yeah,
but no. It does feel like in the smaller map, and he does become a Shadow Orb, which can be very relevant for Rakir, I guess, too.
Mm-hmm.
To give you another spot to bounce around.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
Yeah.
My inexperience, like, 5 games of Krognar.
Right. No, like I said, it's something I'm... Yeah. But you know me, I don't take 3s as serious as 5s. And so, like,
yeah.
For me, this is definitely a list of, I'm going to play around with some stuff, see how it works. Maybe this isn't the right choice. But maybe I even just replace, as much as I like Rakir, maybe I replace Rakir with Kogan.
Yeah, you could also do that. I mean, I don't hate the Rakir.
I like the Rakir just for the burst damage, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of nice. Like, the being able to just kind of erase a guy, it's usually pretty good. So, I mean, yeah, you could do that swap, but I also just don't hate the current way you got it. So,
but yeah, so I think that's probably I have 2 lists for Warfare Weekend that I've been looking at for 3s. The other one is one I've actually tried a little bit.
Okay.
In a game or two with like, I've tried a 7 or a 5s format of it with a little bit more expansiveness. But it's one that I kind of was like, not sure how I feel. And I'll just quick name that one off. We're not going to talk about it in detail. But it's a Tauren list, which obviously we know is more my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bastion, Skye, Styx, Arya, Alendir.
Yeah, that one just feels weird.
it's supposed to. Okay. Because I figure most people are going to go after that Alendir, and then I get to play a very control-heavy Tauren list.
Yeah. You still gotta be able to, like, kill something, though, at the end of the day, right? Like,
yes, but that's what monsters are for.
I mean, I guess. It's only a single Gloom in threes, in a lot of the threes maps, though, so...
Yeah, but walking them into them, turn 3 hurts.
That's true, but you got to be able to do a little more than that.
There's, I think, it's one of those things that I honestly think that list has a little bit more damage potential than it looks like it does.
It might, because, like, Arya, if she gets to shoot twice, can do quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And on EP, turn sticks and Sky can do some pretty good damage. But it does feel a bit lacking on damage, but... Like you said, you can use the monster, you can use sticks to position stuff around to get more value. So, yeah, I mean, it probably has some legs, but yes, it does feel like Alendir is always the ban.
I mean, like, in the time that I've been playing, it always feels like Alendir's the ban, so...
Yeah.
If you have an Alendir, it seems like most people are just like, nope, get rid of him, he's gone, shoo.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad ban most of the time he shows up.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so we're not going to get into that any further. So let's move into 5s, because that is obviously a bigger event. It's a, I can't say bigger because we're tied on the number of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think 5s is...
It's a bigger warband event.
Correct, and I think 5s is usually... as the feel from the community of being the, like, more competitive of the 2 formats.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of like more like the main event, where 3s is the appetizer.
Yeah.
Kind of learn the game, you know. Obviously, it can also be competitive as well, but I think the balance is a lot better around 5s, I feel like. So, all right, Fabius. Yeah. So on 5s, you've got a couple warbands here.
Yes, I do.
Do you have one you would like to talk about that you're really feeling?
Well, I mean, realistically, I love my you know I'm a Tomas and a Torm player regularly, and I have been playing with the Tomas list, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of on a fence point on part of it, and I need to see where I sit.
Okay.
But I have a backup, which is my Breweland list.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you, which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about your Tomas one, because I'm curious what you're on the fence about. Maybe we can iron that out.
Okay, sure. So my Tomas list that I'm looking at is Fazeal, Rakir, Masuzi, Marcus, and then Ashel / Maltique.
Okay.
And then I have Styx, who's out of God, and Dhonargar, who's out of God.
Okay.
Where I'm a little on the fence here is the Ashel / Maltique part. The rest of them are all, you know, I like
pretty,
them.
Pretty set. Okay.
Yeah, they're set. Marcus just gives me a good solid defender to roam around the board and do some stuff. Donnie, obviously, we know is a solid defender for taking hits. Styx gives me the ability to nullify stuff, get rid of it, move positioning. Where I'm torn is with the Ashel Maltique, like I said, simply because of the fact Ashel is very action economy heavy, right? He's another one of the two action guys for his cannon. And I've seen him played a couple times, and I've played him a few times, and when he goes off, he goes off awesomely, but when he doesn't, he just feels bad. And that's a standard thing of all the two action models.
As a Zaffin lover, it is very much the same.
Right.
It is. Now, here in Tomas, you get some value because you can make them a Bard 1S on Effigy Power turn,
right,
which is very, very strong. But yeah, and you do have like Styx to help. I actually think if you swap, well, okay, so it wouldn't be illegal for this tournament, but Sharn in the Dhonargar slot makes me like Ashel quite a bit.
So I'll be 100% honest with you. Soon as Sharn comes out,
yeah,
Donnie's gone. She's, from.
Yeah, then I actually quite like the Ashel. I mean, and Maltique has some good value too, right? You have the Styx, and Maltique is pretty good into res, which outside Mazuzi, like Fazeal can kind of do res.
Yeah.
You know, if he gets a Shredder and, you know, decapping. Rakir also kind of can. Again, depends on, you know, can you land the poison? Can the burst damage go through, etc.? But I kind of like either of them. I think Maltique might be slightly better until you have Sharn. That's my gut.
Well,
my gut thought.
I'll be also, honest with you. Oh, go ahead.
Also, Ashel would also want a Heartseeker over which Styx can get value from. So can Mazuzi. So that also leads me to Maltique. And finally, I think Maltique might have some value without having to buy Ring of Power, where I feel like Ashel has to get Heartseeker.
No,
I think that's my last point on the difference between the two.
So those are all things I've looked at as a whole, right? And I've come to the same conclusions with you. And it's kind of one of those things that I love the fact that Ashel has, you know, pin, he has fire, he has all those things. But I was looking at Maltique to begin with, and now I'm going to be honest, with the way the patch changes hit and we're playing with it at Warfare, I looked at Maltique and I was just like, I think she's better overall at just nuking somebody down so I don't have to worry about it. It's like, go ahead, cleanse the conditions. I'm just going to nuke you down instead anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she has some strong conditions. I think she can stun plus pin.
She can stun or pin.
Yeah. So I think there's still value there.
No. And, sorry. Go ahead.
And definitely the big part, too, that I think might be a bit overlooked is you're very, very fate heavy already. And not necessarily having to buy Ring of Power, depending on what your opponent's warband is. And you still can upper accuracy because of poison.
Yep.
I don't know. It just really feels like Maltique slots in better.
No,
and, in this current conjunction you have.
And that's where I've been at this entire time, and that's part of the reason why Kunderbuss took her to work on her.
Mm-hmm.
Was because the more I've been looking at it, the more I'm leaning towards Maltique. But you know me, I'm a go big or go home, and Ashel definitely fits that.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with you that he's fighting for items that other people want.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know if you're really always going to put Heartseeker on Mazuzi and or Styx, just that it does feel like it's got some pretty good value on either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Would agree with that.
And you already have some kind of swingy things, so like Toxin can be very swingy whether you get the poison or not. Whether, you know, how your toxin roll goes,
yep.
Fazil with the decap. So maybe being a bit less on the swinginess of some of your damage might feel, I don't know. The Maltique, just the more we've kind of talked about it a bit, feels better. Now, I think that changes a bit once you get Sharn, because then you have two options to help reposition to get two shots out of Ashel,
right,
to get more value from that. So I think there's... When you can make that swap, I kind of feel a bit better about Ashel, but I don't know. I just really kind of like Maltique in this setup you got going.
Yeah, that, like I said, that's kind of where I'm ending up to, is that Maltique's probably the answer that I'm going to be taking. Just after looking at it more and not even talking with it here, just that's kind of where I've been going.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm constantly thinking about that because I do like Ashel. I enjoy playing with him. I like you like Zafin, I like Ashel, right?
Yeah.
And obviously I've been playing with Zafin in the Fantasy League,
mm-hmm,
and I already liked Zafin before. I'll be honest, the boy, since I've gotten a hold of him, has never let me down. He's been a baller. But I've never felt that with Ashel.
Like, okay,
he's let me down on way more occasions than I ever would love to admit.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to be like, yeah, this is an awesome thing. Oh, but he let me down. Damn. And Maltique has done that as well, but I think having something like Styx is going to make her much better, because if somebody tries to pin her down, she's got a way out, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing. So, like, the inclusion of Styx is probably why I think a little bit better about Maltique. Because Ashel, well, you definitely don't want Ashel making the melee attack. At least Ashel can make the melee attack.
Yeah, whereas...
To push, where Maltique can't even do that at all.
Yeah.
So that's where, like, the Styx does feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... but that's kind of where I'm at, and I honestly think that for one of my two warbands, I am probably going to bring this Tomas warband, and it will be with Ashel or Maltique. We'll see where I land. But if I go brain dead in between now and then, I do have my backup Bruellen warband, because, like you said, in threes, press the gas and just go.
Yeah, that is definitely the... the intent of my current one.
Right. And I feel like my fives one has a lot of that built into it, where it's press the gas and go and just murder.
Yeah.
And I ran something very similar to this last year at Warfare.
Okay.
And because that's where this kind of came out of, was it was like I looked at my warband that I ran last year and I was like, oh, that worked really well for me. How do I add this?
Yeah.
And I just like, okay, now I have Lori. Lori just makes this better. Okay. So that's kind of my, I'm turning brain off today. Don't want a brain no more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Bruellen can be a little bit of that sometimes. Obviously, there's still stuff you have to think about, but it definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Definitely a little bit easier. Is thing in charge range? Press effigy power.
Correct. It's one of those things. I don't want anybody to think that playing Bruellen is you know, super easy and lackluster or whatever. No, it's not. It's actually, it still requires a lot of planning. You really do have to play the chess game, but it definitely allows you to, like you said, is thing in charge range? Yes. Press effigy power button. Go.
Yeah, that does tend to be the thought process with Bruellen at times, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to put stuff in a very threatening position. Either you give me a lot of the board, or you come into that, and then it's go time. Like, we launch all the missiles.
Yep.
And then we do damage.
Yep. I mean, that actually just happened in my game this morning against Corey. So, definitely a thing that can happen. So, all right. Well, Wonky, I talked about one of mine. Let's talk about, because obviously, once again, you are the buy-buster. You are going to be doing some fun games off to the side just to give people a game if they want one. Mm-hmm. What warband are you thinking about? And I swear to God, don't you go Gruul.
I mean, obviously, I've got my Gruul warband I've been enjoying a lot of, that I've actually been doing some different stuff with, which has been fun once it's hit the table. But I won't talk about that one. I will talk about, I think, an interesting Tankfall kind of warband.
Okay.
With as many dwarves and minotaurs as I can fit, but I'm playing it in Ista. So, kind of the thought was, like, partially to play Ista to test out the new stuff.
Sure.
Partially because Ista has a bunch of champs that are a bunch of heroes I really enjoy. Especially because I feel like Estariel is not getting played nearly as much for the current meta, and she's making it into a lot of places, I think, for me. As much as I hate elves, I like her rules too much. So,
I mean, she's got good rules, so.
Yes. In Ista, I'm playing Thrommel, Doenragar, Isabel, Loribella, Brock, Thorgar, and Estariel. The main theme was more minotaurs and dwarves. I actually was going to attempt to try and play the herd in Ista to see if it had some legs. Because it probably does. Because Ista, like, if you swap in Isabel over Loribella in the normal herd build, which the herd, for those that aren't aware, are all fought, well, it was previously all five minotaurs before there were more of them. So Doenragar, Kogan, Gendrys, Thorgar, Zyvera. So you can swap out the Gendrys for Isabel, I think, and it becomes instantly a lot better. And then you would, with the five minotaurs, you normally would play Thrommel and Loribella, at least historically in V1. Thrommel and Loribella are both Ista heroes. They do a lot of wonders, but in this build, I decided to bring in a couple of dwarves, and then I don't know. I just really think Estariel right now is really good in the meta. I'm seeing a lot of double tank hitting the table. Things like Sharn and Diamond Armor, where she can, if she really wants to, get another shredder to then ignore the one shred and still be able to shred. Obviously, she loses some accuracy, but this warband comes with some knockdown. Thrommel, Isabel, Thorgar can all knock people down. So kind of the idea is essentially like bring double tank, bring healing, bring like whatever damage fits after that. Thrommel and Doenragar with possibly Isabel and Loribella healing them is kind of a stupid amount of healing and damage absorption.
I don't believe kind of is the right word there, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously you have some pretty tanky melee damage dealers in Brock and Thorgar. And then, you know, you have Estariel. So obviously you got to drop something. But kind of the idea is I actually don't know who I would drop most of the time. I think probably depends heavily on the opposing warband.
I don't think you're going to get to play Estariel all that often.
Yeah, I do have a feeling that Estariel probably gets banned a lot, most likely. In which case, I probably drop the Thorgar and just go ridiculously tanky and then get my Brock to 3 if they've got something too tanky, and then Brock can just molten metal it. And I've got just insane amounts of healing. I've got AoE healing. If you get Isabelle leveled up, like the thought of a level 3 Holy Isabelle hanging around with a Lorybella that's double healing a Thraumel and a Dhonargar is just, like, I don't know how you kill that. So it's
you
kind of...
You don't. You win by Soul Harvest.
Yep, until that tank ball walks onto the soul pit and you no longer get to pick up souls. So, yeah, it's obviously, it's kind of built like the ridiculous Deathball Warbands I used to play a lot in V1, just with slightly less Minotaurs and just a shit ton more healing.
Slightly less my ass.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is one I'm kind of eager. I was hoping to get a game with it tonight to see how well it could work, but didn't get any games in tonight because people had real life stuff. I have been debating a swap for Lorybella for Barney, mostly for extra fire and more knockdown setup. But honestly, Lorybella is just too much fun. Because this warband is, like a lot of warbands I tend to build, it's really fate light with kind of a few spots you're going to funnel the fate through.
Yeah.
Lorybella being one of the main ones. Thraumel with the hammer time, and then Astariel with the fire. However, you kind of have to put someone on fire, so, and she's got to be self-sufficient in that on her own, because there is no setup without a Barney for that. But kind of open on who you level. Probably usually Brock most of the time, but sometimes you can get that Thraumel level, and which is kind of fun.
I'm going to be honest with you. I actually really like the idea, as much as weird as this is going to sound. I like the idea of dropping the Thorgar for Barney.
Yeah.
Barney doesn't hit as hard as Thorgar, right? But it does give you the setup. He is another source of knockdown, especially at, you know, and Thorgar does get better dice at it, but you're also risking Thorgar to do that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely a possibility. It would give me some extra fire and some extra setup. I'm curious then if, because my only thought is the Barney's probably going to get dropped a lot. Because, well, maybe not. Because they're probably going to then ban, well, maybe, it depends. If their warband can't deal with double tank in ridiculousness, they might try and ban out a tank.
Yeah.
Which still might not be a terrible ban. Yeah. And then you go solo tank, Isabelle, Lori, Astariel, Barney, and you try, I don't know if I'll drop Brock, though. Anyways, I don't know. I don't hate the Barney swap there, to be honest. It also gives another good Soul Harvest Horror. Actually, what's kind of funny is if I drop Thorgar for Barney, even Astariel Soul Harvest 3. Mm-hmm. So Thraumel, Dhonargar, Astariel, or Soul Harvest 3.
Yep.
Lorybella, or Brock is also Soul Harvest 3.
Yep.
Lorybella and Barney are Soul Harvest 4, and Isabelle is Soul Harvest 5.
Yep.
Actually, I kind of like the Barney swap. We're gonna make that little change.
I looked at that and I was just like, I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, because it gives you a second fire option with Astariel too, which I kind of like.
Yeah, well, and my thought is, right, is if they ban Astariel, okay,
yep,
you drop Barney. It's fine. You still have Thraumel, Donnie, Isabelle, Lori, Brock.
Yeah,
which is already going to be nasty as all hell anyway.
Yeah.
Or even if they ban Astariel and you're like, oh, I don't need double tank for this one.
Yeah, then you can always drop one of the two.
Cool,
yeah.
Drop one of your two tanks and still bring Barney, who's another setup piece for knockdown.
Yep. No, I like the Barney.
Yeah.
Because I think you can play fine without Brock, because you have both Isabelle and Barney. Mm-hmm. And you kind of use one of your tanks as, like, kind of some of your monster hunter. Like, you might get that, like, a hunter's knife on Dhonargar.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting him levels is kind of hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the other thing I like about the swap of Thorgar for Barney, right? or Barney for Thurgar, sorry, is that you now have, if you're not funneling fate into Thrommel or Lori, you do have, we do freaking have the, as I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but his grind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, it's one of those things of if you're playing that tanky death ball anyway.
Yeah, then the value, there's more value there.
Right.
My problem with Barney is always with grind is I really don't know if I want to jam him into multiple things.
Well, and my thought
so
is...
So that's kind of the more... Now, the doing damage without rolling dice is kind of nice.
Because
mm-hmm. It is true damage, right? So if you get something yep. low, you can just kind of finish them. So there is some value there. But normally, I'm not the biggest fan of getting my Barney stuck into places. That's right. kind of the...
One of the things that gets overlooked, grind. Though, is what if Barney gets stuck in someplace on his own because they charge him?
Mm-hmm.
You can grind and never move.
No, that's true. But if they're sending multiple models in on my Barney, I mean, I don't know.
It's one of those things.
It's not bad.
It gives you another place to spend that fate.
Yeah.
And I mean, between Lori and Barney, you now have two ways to do three true damage to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Thorgar crit, yeah. Effectively between the two.
I mean, that is spending obviously. Two fate. Though,
now,
right?
It is spending two fate, but it's two fate that you also don't have, or it's two sets of damage that you don't have to roll.
True.
So it's one of those things, like, there are benefits to both. Am I mm-hmm. saying that you're going to spend more fate on Barney? No, it's... Oh, hey, look, there's that random thing, or I'm going to walk into that monster and I'm going to grind it.
Yeah.
Kill it, get the fate back, and get a level. Whee!
Yeah, that's true. So,
lot
yeah,
of...
so that is the one's probably the one I feel like I want to get on the table and give it some try because it feels pretty good. So.
No, that makes sense.
So, yeah, that one's feeling pretty good, and it's lots of dwarves and minotaurs. Not in Gruul, which is a little sad, but, you know.
Yeah. No, but we always know you have a Gruul warband in your back pocket because you
yeah,
are the
Yeah, well, there's
Gruul
like
guy.
Five of them usually.
Correct. So that makes sense that you would have that.
All right. So as we're kind of getting through here, do you have a second warband you want to talk about for your fives?
For my fives?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely do. Have a second warband. And like I said, I've already talked about my kind of brain dead Borellan one. It's mm-hmm. just gas pedal. But I did with the changes in the patch, I went back and looked at Ista again. And Ista, you know, is not my god that I normally play, but I did play it at Adepticon. Mm-hmm. And I forced Zarin in there as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so I took my Ista Warband that was there and I actually modified it to what I would say is definitely a more standardized Ista. And I don't think you'd disagree with me on that statement.
Yeah, it definitely feels a pretty standard Ista. So what is it?
So it is Dhonrogar, Brock, Marcus, Isabel, Alendir, Istariel, and Lori. Part of the reason I did this is because I've been looking at Alendir for a little bit, because I know mm-hmm. he's fallen out of favor in my eyes a little bit. Not because he's not good, it's just because I've had so much trouble getting ranged characters to actually get some use.
Okay.
And like I found with Kogan a couple years ago, I just had to force myself to sit down and play with it.
Yeah.
To finally start finding, oh, okay, I got to go here to get some use. I got to go here to get some use. And so, like, I've been doing that with Zaffin in the Fantasy League, I've forced myself to play him, so I'm having to use ranged attacks.
Yeah.
To do that. And so I thought about this list, and I looked at it, and I traded out Zarin and Barney, because they were the two that were in my previous list. And I traded them out for Lori and Alendir. And I'll be honest with you, I don't hate the way that this warband has set up, but I'm not sure it plays what I want to be playing at Warfare for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're not the biggest fan of range, right, you're going double range. Mm-hmm. Because you could definitely see a world where they just ban out your Brock.
Mm-hmm.
And then make you have to deal with monsters, and kind of securing those melee kills.
Right.
So, like, if you had Brock banned, what would you drop in that scenario? Would you drop one of the range characters and go double tank, or would you go single tank, like Isabelle, Elendir, Astario, and Lori, and just kind of try and push damage?
I mean, realistically, as always, as we always say, it would kind of depend on what my opponent's bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But I could definitely see myself dropping. I could possibly see myself dropping a tank, right? Like maybe drop Marcus, as much as I like the knockdown and stuff. For the ranged characters, I could see myself just dropping Marcus, taking Dhonargar, Isabelle, Elendir, Istariel, and Lori, so that way I have the fire combo if I can get it.
Yeah.
I also could see myself very easily dropping one of the ranged characters to go double tank if I need to. Because you and I both know that Istariel doesn't need Elendir to make herself work.
No. I don't think Elendir needs Istariel either, right?
Correct.
To be fair, so.
Right.
I think they're fine, completely fine on their own.
I actually had to play, like I said this morning, Corey in a game, and I had pretty much mostly ranged characters, and that was an interesting game to play against a Bruellum list. So I'm starting to get the hang of it, and this would force me to do that some more. But I think, yeah, if they ban my Brock, I just have to look at the map legitimately and go, how am I going to deal with this? What is my opponent bringing?
Yeah.
And change that. Because the other thing is that if I were to drop, say, Istariel, right? Overall, if I'm bringing Donnie, Marcus, Isabelle, Elendir, Lori, it's a fairly light Fate warband as well. Elendir wants that Fate for Explosive Shot. Lori can use it for Hand Grenade. But two Fate, that's not a lot of Fate. So,
yeah,
it's not like my Tomas
the fire
warband,
wombo
right?
Combo is always fun. I don't think I've seen a lot of people actually get it on the table, because I feel like one of the two tends to get banned out. But in this case, like getting rid of your Brock and just reducing that melee presence feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So
I feel like
the Brock would be a high ban target.
He very well could be, and that's something I've thought about. And I, like I said, I don't know. My only thought at this point is I could. I don't know. Lori's probably the one who's going to be floating, and that sucks because I really like Lori.
Yeah.
But if one were to go, it's probably going to be her to bring in some sort of melee aggressor that helps me with that, you know.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if you brought a melee in for Lori, then it probably starts looking like an Elendir Astariel, unless they feel like they got to ban out a tank.
Right.
Just because, okay, you've got redundancy for Brock. Well, then fine, I'm going to make your range presence less. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I think it would also depend on what I'm playing. If I'm playing a couple of demons now, I think Isabelle's got to be kind of thought of as a banned target if you're running.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like 2 to 3 demons. I think if you're in that kind of a range, like,
yeah,
getting Lori to level 2, then the Holy Blast kind of becomes a pretty threatening thing to do a fair amount of damage pretty easily. So,
yeah. Well, that's kind of my thought, is if I'm up against a demon list, right? Or somebody mm-hmm. who's playing undead / some demons, Isabelle has to be looked at as a banned target, because if she's not, she's very easy to feed a level 2, go down that retribution path, and now she's going to sit there and just blow you up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, it's kind of the same thing you talked about in your Istaband, right? if you don't, and say you do kill the Brock, I can also go Isabelle, get her to level 2, and go Holy.
Yeah.
And now I've got that little bit of extra possible stay alive, plus Lori being able to do a heal to help a little bit here and there. It's not as effective as like yours, because yours is focused primarily on dwarfs and
Yeah, so it gets a little bit right? extra, yeah, with the so Thrummel.
It gets a little bit extra, but it's still there. So, I don't know. It's a thought that I had. And then, like I said, there's my brain dead list, which is always in the back of my mind of just being like, cool, I'm going to run, go.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of where I've been at. But, I mean, the patch, like I said, I think if we're going to hearken anything back to what we covered earlier tonight with the patch and with what I've been talking about here,
mm-hmm.
the patch legitimately has made me retake a look at Ista.
Yeah.
And go, is there a warband in Ista that I actually want to play? Is there something I want to do with this, right? And I think that's good. Because Ista was not a god I was looking at primarily before. And so the fact that we both have put together Ista warbands, especially because of the new patch, like as a thing, we want to try and utilize some of the new stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's good. It's a breath of fresh life into the game, right? Along with mm-hmm. the new heroes coming. So, but yeah, that's what I got.
All right. Any final thoughts for, warbands for, for warfare?
Honestly, no. I think that's my final thoughts on warbands themselves. Any final thoughts from you about warbands?
No, I think the Ista one's kind of exciting. Although I do have a pretty sweet Yorgoth proxy I might want to play with. So
I figured you were going to do that anyway.
Might have to try and fit a Yorgoth in on. And some of my war, I mean, he fits in a lot of Gruul warbands I've been playing lately anyways, so we'll see. I mean, I guess also he's going to be at the con, but we'll see if I feel motivated enough to put him together. I might use my sweet 3D printed Yorgoth proxy for at least one event.
I can't imagine why you would do that at all.
Yeah. So.
So, well, guys, I'm going to make one quick reminder, which is with Warfare Weekend coming up in about a week. Make sure when you get there, you know, you familiarize yourself with where all the restrooms, drinking fountains, any of that stuff are. Be on time to your events. In fact, be early to make sure that people are not waiting on you. And
oh, and pre-register on Longshanks.
Yes, pre-register on Longshanks.
There's only 3 people in both the events on Longshanks, and that will help save some time. You don't have to, you can hide your list until the event starts. And honestly, you don't even have to put a list in yet, but please add yourself on Longshanks if you haven't done that already. Yes. The links are in the document.
There you go. There you go, guys. You know, and then, of course, guys, as always, please just go attend the con, have fun, but behave, right? Have fun, behave, be good, don't get into any trouble, and enjoy. And with that, Wonky, let's portal on out of here.